Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today, my special guest, and that's plural on guests, are Mandy Lubas and Kristen Hart. Mandy Lubas is a holistic occupational therapist and a 2001 graduate of Quinnipiac University. I hope I pronounced that right. She and her partner opened Holistic Therapies for Life in 2018 after 20 years in practice working with clients across the lifespan. Mandy is a co-founder and co-facilitator of AOTA's Integrative Health Occupational Therapy Community of Practice, the first integrative health group formally recognized by AOTA. She shares her passion by presenting and works to educate students, practitioners, educators, and colleagues on merging integrative health OT into the medical community by presenting at colleges throughout the U.S. at MAOT conferences and AOTA conferences. Mandy shared her personal healing journey and the holistic approaches she uses in practice in articles published in OT Advanced magazine. Kristen Hart is a nurse practitioner specializing in women's health. She graduated with a master's degree from the University of Pennsylvania in 1990. She has been in the field of medicine since 1987. She embarked on her holistic path over 10 years ago for her own health and well-being. She is a Reiki master, a certified acupuntics practitioner, and certified in body feedback with essential oils. She also practices astrology and other forms of energy medicine, such as shamanism and intuitive plant medicine. And before we get going, Kristen, my niece would love you because she really is into astrology. So, she would really, truly love that part of you. But with that, welcome to you both to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm very excited to have you both here with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
I know we had a couple of bumps in the road. We were supposed to do the recording, I think, last week, and, you know, just life got in the way. And but we're here. And I usually when we have to reschedule, we usually have a dynamite conversation. So I'm setting the bar high today for that. We met through another former integrative OT practitioner, Becky Ostell-Clausen. Becky is, like myself, a Utica University alumni. I got a nudge to ask her, can you recommend some other holistic practitioners that you think would be a good fit for the Teaching Journeys podcast? And your names came up immediately. So we reached out and one thing led to another, and here we are.
Isn't that amazing how the world, I'll call it, vibrates, right, at this astronomical level? And before we had, you know, technology like this, you know, pretty much it was meet and greets and a quick phone call. And how do you access things like this? So I think it's a great time and space to have opportunities where, you know, you can meet one person and the path kind of goes on and your connections just keep growing and growing.
The people that come into our lives are destined to come into our lives at the time they were supposed to come into our lives. So please tell our listeners about the experiences that have shaped your life path and have gotten you to this moment where you're into integrative practices, holistic health practices, and whoever wants to start first can start.
All right. You want me to? I'll go first.
Go for it.
I'll go first. All right. So I was a nurse practitioner for many years in women's health, but I sort of suffered with migraines, and I still do. And I had reached a tipping point where I was miserable. Everything that traditional medicine had to offer me wasn't working. Medications were giving me side effects that sometimes were worse than the migraines, or I wasn't willing to put up with. So at one stage, I was seeing a chiropractor for a couple of years by then, and she's like, why don't you go try acupuncture? So I was like, all right, you know, at that stage, you're willing to try anything just to get out of the pain. And so I started to do acupuncture, which was incredible for me. It gave me hope that, you know, I really could tolerate the migraines, lessen the migraines. My life could not be focused solely around the migraines. But my acupuncturist did something called acutonics, which is using different calibrated tuning forks to putting them either on body parts that are sore, or also putting them on acupuncture points to move energy. So I found that sort of life-changing for me, and that's how I ended up getting into acutonics eventually. But my path with my acupuncturist really led me down a path of self-discovery. I think once the energy started to move within me, then I started to get more in touch with my consciousness. I joined a group that she and her partner, who was an astrologer, who ended up becoming my astrology teacher for a few years, ran, called Women's Mystery School. And not something I ever would have thought I would have been in years before, but it was an incredible experience of, you know, again, we sort of studied different goddesses and how they, what they represented as archetypes for women, and you know, how they, we could use or work with that energy within our own lives. And that everything just opened me up a little bit more. And I ended up taking acutonics training then to do that modality. And I also did some Reiki and eventually became a Reiki master. And everything, one thing led to the other, which led me down the path of, you know, essential oils. And then it also led me down the path of doing a shamanism class as well. And then by the time I met Mandy, you know, I was ready for the next step, which ended up being, you know, yoga teacher training. So definitely my migraines were, as so many times in life, something that was one of my most painful, challenging things, also ended up being my greatest teacher.
Thank you to your migraines for bringing it to this point, at least from my perspective. Well, so Mandy, what is your story?
So my story, I'm going to tweak it a little bit after listening to Kristen. I think, first off, as a kid, we're so open, right? And we either are in family systems that welcome that or know what to do with those specific emotions. And then there's some family systems that shut it down because of fear. So I think I was in a family system who didn't really know what to do with my emotions. I'm a Cancer, very watery. And, you know, I remember sitting, I believe I was 7. And at the time I was living in Salem, Massachusetts with the witches. And
not actually with the witches.
You weren't actually living with the witches.
Right. I know. And I remember sitting on the steps, and actually an event had happened that I thought was pretty traumatic at that time. My family was supposed to, my cousins, they were supposed to come over for a big celebration. And somehow I didn't know why they weren't coming. And I remember at that time welling up so much with so much anger and rage and frustration of not knowing like the why, right? So I remember self-soothing, and I was sitting on the steps, and I kept saying out loud. I remember sitting right next to my dad, and I was saying this out loud. I'm here forever. I'm here forever. I'm here forever. It was like this mantra that I put myself in this zone of like, wow, like there's no time right now. It's just this spaciousness. And then I kind of lost it, you know, as I got older. And as an adult, I try to tap back into that space, especially when the emotions come up and the fears. But anyway, I found, so if I was to look at my upbringing with my emotions and all, things for me, and I'm sure for many other people, came in 7 years or 10 years of shifts. So my biggest shift was I contracted a hookworm out in the Caribbean with my family. And we were horseback riding, and I think that's how I got it. But it wasn't detected for 10 years. So each year I was starting to get unexplained symptoms that the doctors didn't know what it was. So they diagnosed me with irritable bowel syndrome and, you know, had all different tests and colonoscopies and stuff. And but at that time of my pain, you know, I would say I'm an individual that seeks outwardly and then meaning to other people to get some advice or some guidance. And then I'm able to come back in and self-soothe and kind of make my decision of what feels right within me. So I remember at that time I was working with a cranial sacral therapist who was helping me with some past traumas and working with some of my emotions. And at that time, my stomach was still in a lot of pain, and I thought I was just really unraveling, you know, my root chakra and the second chakra and kind of getting some clarity of my upbringing. And so fast forward, so I still stayed with cranial sacral. Fast forward, I met a shaman. And at that time, I didn't know what shamanic work was. He was out in Western Mass, and I ended up studying cranial sacral with him. And he was actually, I remember him doing a lot of work on my chakra system and basically sharing with me his thoughts and his insights and just really tuning in. So I studied with him for a good year, met some great, great people. A couple of them were occupational therapists. And it was kind of like, wow, my tribe is by me healing, my tribe is showing, appearing. And really within that 10-year time frame of healing, you know, that led me to yoga. So I met my first yoga teacher where I was really introduced to sacred texts and yogic philosophy. Kristen studied with the same teacher as well. But I didn't meet Kristen until, what, after 6 years or 5 years after. So I really started to get into, at that time, I was in between like my faith of Catholicism to spirituality and the guilt that I felt, you know, of not going to church and doing the things that I should be doing. I remember sitting on my yoga mat in pain and being like, this is it. This is my church. My yoga mat is my church, because I've never felt so connected to a source rather than God in church, sitting in the, you know,
pews.
Yeah. So anyway, everything just made so much sense. And it was just, I felt like it was just peeling so much of my consciousness and healing some of the wounds that the emotional disturbances and things like that. So as I started to heal by going through this yoga teacher training, my body was just opening up at night from, you know, jerks and insights and, you know, having experiences where I had a severe hemorrhage in the middle of the night and had an awakening, maybe I wouldn't say near death, but close to death, of waking up to the bleeding and opening my bedroom door and the fatigue of my hand going through the door and remembering driving myself to the ER and like really contemplating like, what are you doing? Like the message was, you need to slow down in your life and really stop working and proving yourself and pushing yourself. So again, the hookworm, the hemorrhage, the emotional disturbances was because I was so in ego, but I was so much craving this spiritual essence that I was feeling during my yogic studies and my Ayurvedic studies. And so little did I know, my self-studied opened me up to meet Kristen and then opening up in private practice. So it was just, that's the long of the short. But yeah, so, and I think it's, we are always trying to evolve. That doesn't ever end. It's just, what's the next step? When the body and the mind and the soul is ready, something else is going to unfold. And, but we need to be grounded.
Yeah, so, absolutely. We don't stop evolving until the day we transition to a new existence, or as I like to call it, dancing in another dimension. Just from hearing both of your stories, I mean, I think what struck me is, I first of all, Kristen, anything that you mentioned with acupuncture, acutonics, I've been the recipient of that, as well as massage therapy. I've been the recipient of Reiki, and I know for a fact, for me, the benefits that it's had for me physically and emotionally. And Mandy, when you had mentioned, and I think the message I got was sometimes not being in a family that fears because they don't understand another person's perspective or how a child relates to the world. I've talked to several young adults who have had a very intuitive feel for the world, have looked at the world multidimensionally, who are connected to spirit, are empaths, and have been afraid to own that with anybody because of fear of being looked down upon, not being judged, not being believed. When you had mentioned that my head just went to all several of those young adults who I've talked with, who have said that this is how I see the world. That is what struck me with both of your stories. So thank you for sharing that.
Sure. Yeah.
So where do we go from here? Well, that's a good question. And I got the answer. I want to talk a little bit about holistic therapies for life, how that came about, what inspired it, what's your mission, and, you know, the type of services that you provide through your organization. So whoever wants to go can go.
Why don't I start and you can jump in? Does that sound good? Sure. Okay. So the Holistic Therapies for Life, the actual name Mandy was using, gosh, how long?
Let's see, 2009. So right after I graduated yoga therapy school, I just went on a limb, out on a limb. And I remember sitting with one of my friends, and her husband was an artist. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, I need some help. I'm going to just throw out some words, and this is what it looks like. And so the three of us kind of nailed down that name, and then we created a logo for that. And so, you know, that's what I had used.
And then we started our business in 2017, and we were working over top of in a chiropractor's office on the top floor. We had one treatment room and one little yoga room. So during the day, one of us would work out of the little yoga room, the other one would be at the treatment room, and we'd switch back and forth. And then we'd have yoga classes there in the mornings or the evenings as well. And then in 2019, we moved to where we are now, and which is in Beverly, Massachusetts, on Cabot Street. And we have a much bigger space. We have four treatment rooms now, and we have a much larger yoga studio where we can probably hold 20 people. So, and, you know, we really wanted to find a place where we could make it a very inviting environment. So we found an architect who is now our good friend, and we created a place that kind of feels like you're outside when you come in. So we have a lot of bamboo within there. We have, you know, a water element, a water fountain. We have a lot of, you know, natural wood and things like that. And I think you know, the most important thing for us is for people to feel at ease when they come in and safe. Yeah. And one of the things we get from most people is, wow, the minute I walk through the door, I just feel so much better. I feel so much calmer, which is great. You know, we do a lot to work on the energy of the space to keep it that way, you know, because there is a lot of energy that comes from people when they might be with us going through certain, you know, traumas or things like that that may come up. And so we're always working within the space to keep that energy nice and calm and even and cleared. And so that's how we created the space and found the space. You know, it's been a challenge. You know, we moved in April Fools of 2019. We had a flood from some work being done in the street out front in July. So, you know, we put a lot of money in, made it this beautiful space, and then we were out. And we worked out of our landlord had thankfully had a two family house, and we were able to move into the bottom floor a couple streets over and see our clients out of there and rent yoga space somewhere else, studio space. So we were back in by October, and then the pandemic hit in March. So we've had a lot of start and stop, but we've never quit. We're quite resilient. We keep going. We saw people telehealth through the whole pandemic, and opened up obviously when we could. So even though we've been there since 2019, it kind of feels like we're just building again, because it's like start and stop, and not stop, but start and step back. Like anything in life, you take a couple steps forward and then a couple steps back. But I'll let Mandy talk about that. We've brought now over the past year or two some experiences, a different way to work within the space, because originally when we combined, you know, Mandy was doing her occupational therapy and, you know, her specialties, and I was doing my specialties. And we were kind of two, even though we were under the same roof, we weren't really doing what we had hoped to do.
Mm. Yes. So to piggyback on what Kristen's saying, so Dave, our mission is joy. Our mission statement is joy is your birthright. And so we're always asking, you know, what is joy? What's the difference between joy and happiness? Right. And I know for myself, joy is this place that just joy is like how I explained sitting on my step saying, I'm here forever. I'm here forever. I'm here forever. It's just, it's always there where happiness fits and flits and fleets. Right. So even though we have this beautiful center that brings us happiness, the energy that moves in that space is the joy, because that's everlasting. Right. As an occupational therapist, I do take medical insurance, which can get tricky. You know, the medical insurance is more for a rehab-based model. And I know occupational therapists, we're waiting for Massachusetts to clear that we can be behavioral health counselors or practitioners, which would, again, help the practice a little bit more. But it's still insurance-based. So we created these transformational packages. There's three of them. So we have a mini session. We have a mini container, which is to test us out. Then there is a 3 and 6 month transformational program. And that includes a certain, you know, it includes like an infrared sauna, but it includes our ability to work at a deeper level, to really work at the root. The mini is, let's work at your symptoms a little bit. We're going to tap a little bit into the root, but we're not going to dive deep.
It's hard to in a month.
It's hard to in a month. So basically the month trial is them.
If they'd like to, because some people are a little timid and they're not sure. They, you know, they're worried about committing to 3 months or 6 months. So we didn't have that originally. We just had a 3 and a 6 month container. But we found that people, you know, some people are, you know, they're not all in. It's kind of like dip the toe in the water.
And I think that's important, too, because my guess is that a certain percentage of the individuals who request services from you, if not a significant percentage, are probably dealing with some trauma-based incident that has caused them to not feel safe and secure in the world. So my guess is that you have to provide some emotional comfort zone to empower them to dip their toe in the water, let them figure out for themselves whether or not holistic therapies for life is the safe place for them, and then you gradually let them immerse their entire foot into the water.
For sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, how that works is every week they're being seen. So we alternate. So they'll see me 1 week and Kristen another week. And it's great because, you know, we are able to, you know, in the medical community, it would be called rounds. So Kristen and I are constantly talking about our clientele and how we can move them forward and what went on in your session, what went on in my session. And we're able to, you know, tweak it as we go. Kristen will talk a little bit about how the first session, what that looks like, the evaluation to get the full picture of the client. And then we explain what we do in detail with them. But again, this was kind of created in order for a client to really work through their traumas, you know, whether it's, again, we're emotional, physical, spiritual beings. So if an individual comes with back pain, well, guess what? That might be really attributed to your root chakra or your second chakra. So we know what questions to ask, from, you know, working with ourselves at such a deep level, but also seeing the consistency of clients coming through the door. We already know when they first walk in the door what kind of case they are, just from, again, reading their energy, looking at their physical body, how they speak. Mm-hmm. Do they talk slow? Are they talking loud? Or is it erratic?
Contact.
Yeah. And so even with the Ayurvedic training, right? Ayurveda is the medicine of India. And learning about one's body constitution or studying one's body constitution, you know, there's three of them, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. So, you know, using those specific modalities too, right, when they come in the door, from just knowing that we know what category they're going to be in. So in the eval, we will know how to handle them.
Yeah.
Because they're already giving us nonverbal information.
Right. And I think the evaluation is such an important thing. Mandy and I sit with each client initially, and we go through a full history. And, you know, everything from how's your sleep to what you're eating to what you do for exercise. We bring, because we're integrative, like what medications are you on, you know, all of that. So we take a very thorough history. But, you know, I think what's a little bit different from our histories is sometimes, you know, if we deem that they need this, if we're working on physical body, you know, Mandy and I will do a yoga assessment. So we'll put them in certain yoga poses to see if, you know, if they've got a sore hip or a sore back, or where's the tightness, what's going on. It tells us a little bit more than just hearing what they're saying. Mandy, again, might do an Ayurveda questionnaire, which will also put them into certain categories. And I might look at their astrology chart to see, like, okay, so what challenges did you come in with? And what are your strengths? And how can we use those strengths to, you know, help with the challenges, you know? So there might be something in your astrology chart that says that, you know, you don't have a lot of, let's say, cardinal energy, which is like the getting things started, moving, going. So, you know, somebody like that needs to either partner up if you're in business, or even a partner with somebody that has that energy that can sort of give you that little, you know, that little oomph to get going. But then you might have a lot of what's called fixed energy, which means you can see a project through to the end. So, you know, we use all of these measurements to help us and help the other person come up with their treatment plan. And we set goals together. So we ask them to really, like, what are your top three things you want to work on? And then based on our assessments, what are we going to use to get there?
I like the fact that what you truly do is holistic, because I know a lot of the accreditation agencies, I know JCO requires, in order to do holistic therapy, you have to not only look at the psychological well-being, emotional well-being, but you have to assess spiritual and holistic well-being in order for it to be truly holistic. So I think it's great that you do that, and also that you also take a look at not only what the person is saying, but you're taking a look at their aura, their energy, to get a complete picture. I think that's a very unique, but yet a very holistic assessment process that, to me, mimics the mission of integrative health practices anyway.
And, you know, respecting the uniqueness of each individual, culturally, you know, even individuals who come in and identify in a different way than our society views them as. So again, being able to educate and walk by our clients' sides going through this process, we're really big on teaching conscious communication. And that's where spiritual counseling comes in. Being able to ask those hard questions, being able to be vulnerable, and also knowing, you know, when we aren't honest with ourselves, how is that portrayed outwardly? And it's always going to, the universe is always, I said this to a client the other day, and again, not giving any names or the situation, but she had a situation at a grocery store that we'll say violated the rights of her. And I said, you know, you might have gotten away with something at that moment, but the universe is always watching. So the universe is always going to give you another lesson. So you're never alone and you're always being watched.
In a good way.
In a good way.
You're supported.
You're supported. And also knowing that if something, again, it was she had stolen something. And so what I meant by that was, even though you think you got away with stealing something and it doesn't really feel good and align with your consciousness, your own uniqueness, the universe is going to remind you again.
One of my favorite teachings about the universe came from Don Miguel Ruiz in his book, The Alchemist. It's just like something like,
yes,
that, and I'm paraphrasing this, that when you want something, the universe is going to conspire to see that you get it. And intention is the great precursor of actual manifestation anyway. What is your message about holistic and integrative health? How does it benefit individuals, let's say more than just Western medicine by itself? And what have you seen to be the benefit to your clients taking integrative approaches?
So, you know, I think the integrative holistic piece, again, is, as we talked about, it's the mind, body, spirit. So being Western medicine trained practitioners, what we saw was a lack of the system looking at the person as a whole. You're lucky most of the time if you actually get somebody to even ask you about your emotions. Although now there's
a checklist.
Now there's, you know, insurances are, you know, promoting providers to ask the questions to screen for anxiety and depression. So there is that, that has improved to a degree. But then usually you're just referred, you know, and so I think being able to really see the person as a whole being and talk about all of those pieces of them makes all the difference. And that's, again, we each went to Western medicine for answers and we were in it and we were disappointed. And so we were like, there's got to be something more than this, because this is skims the surface, treats the symptoms, doesn't often get at what's underneath that. So I think, you know, having a lot of integrative practices and having the approach and having many different modalities to use to really work on each aspect of the body is the game changer. So, you know, somebody might come in to us with back pain, but what's really under that might be depression or anxiety. And that doesn't mean they don't have back pain. You know, they might have hurt their back or whatever, but it's that, you know, it's that depression or anxiety underneath it that's really fueling that even making it even worse. And, you know, the energetics piece of it, which is what I do a lot of, is such an important piece that, you know, isn't often looked at. And, you know, when you look at research, a lot of the research, there's not a lot of research done on acutonics, but there's research done on acupuncture.
Or vibrational modality.
Yeah. It's hard to get research done because nobody's mm-hmm. paying the money. You know, if it's not a drug you sell, it's very hard to get a big controlled study done. So I feel like I've, having done the energy medicine for so long and the acutonics it's anecdotal for me. Like, for example, I never knew how good it could be from a physical aspect on like a tendonitis. I've had lots of people with an elbow tendonitis, and the vibration therapy from the acutonics really seems to clear up that tendonitis, especially if I can have them come in, you know, a couple times a week, you know, for a couple weeks, 2 weeks. And, you know, sometimes you don't even need that much. So that's just something I've found having done it for so long. But what I like about acutonics in specific is that it is a great example of mind, body, spirit, because the physical vibrations can relax the muscles, release, you know, do all that physical stuff vibration can do. It works at the energetic level because we're putting it on acupuncture points, right? So we're moving energy and we're also, you know, relaxing the nervous system, tapping into that healing part of the nervous system, the parasympathetic, where our bodies repair and relax and restore. So putting the body in that nice, calm state while you're receiving it. And then the spiritual piece then comes out. That's then sometimes where we have clients will have a release or things will come to them, and it just opens things up. Sometimes people see colors lying on the table. Like, everybody's different. So it's for me as a Western practitioner, I was like, wow, you're getting a lot of bang for your buck with this. You're getting the you know, the physical, the emotional mm-hmm. comes up, the spiritual comes out, and the energetic. So I think that's what drew me to that particular thing initially, and then just allowed me to expand into other areas from there.
Mandy, anything to add to that?
Yeah, so I would like to speak a little bit to, with my studies, so I am a yoga therapist and an Ayurvedic wellness counselor. I do practice. I'm almost at the level where I could get my cranial sacral therapy certification, but not quite sure if that's what I want to pursue because I'm in a great place with it. But so if we were to look at seeing a client using yoga therapy, right? So yoga therapy can be yoga postures. It can be the breath. It can be meditation. It can be chant. It could be all those inward practices of, there's something called sadvaya, which is study of the self. So journaling and contemplation. So with yoga, there's 8 limbs. There's the 4 outward practices and the 4 inward practices to get to that state of samadhi. So samadhi is that blissful, liberated state. And again, when we have nothing else to work on, my assumption is then we are liberated. Funny story around that. If we have time, I might get back to that. So for instance, if a client comes in and if they have a hip misalignment or, you know, something going on with the knee. As Kristen mentioned, a structural yogic assessment would be putting them in 8 or 9 pretty much standardized. It's standardized with the checklist that we have where if they're in downward dog, we can see, you know, maybe the right hip coming up and, you know, the tightness at the glutes and the tightness at the hip flexors. Well, right there and then, that's your root chakra. So then as we're there, we can ask some questions that are safe questions around the root chakra. And as the client is in these poses, they're just speaking and spewing out information that is very helpful to what their symptoms are following. Another example would be being on a cranial sacral therapy table. And cranial sacral is, to me, a sacred body work session where the practitioner is working with the cerebral spinal fluid. Cerebral spinal fluid bathes your brain, the ventricles in the brain, up and down the spinal column, and then things are moved through the dural tube at the tailbone here. So two schools, there's biodynamic cranial sacral and osteopathic cranial sacral therapy, who was founded by Dr. Sutherland, Dr. Upledger, these big osteopathic doctors. And there was thought that the sutures do move, and it moves with the flow of the cerebral rhythm. So when I work with clients, I'm working from head to toe with specific hand techniques. And most of the time when I'm at this space, so I'll show you on Kristen, connecting at C7 and
just under the collarbone.
And under the collarbone. And so again, this is releasing that throat chakra and working with the heart chakra. So usually in this space, and I'm holding, and what I'm doing is I'm releasing any fascial restrictions. And guess where emotions are held? In yep. the fascia. So when I'm here, you might see tears. They might just be talking and talking and talking and talking and trying to release. And after this is released, I'm able to go kind of at the temporal lobes a little bit and work with the sphenoid bone. And the sphenoid bone is the most sacred bone in the body. And that's for another podcast. But you'll see, it happens to me all the time when I'm with a safe practitioner, just tears will just come, whether it's joy, whether it's sadness or whatever. And the memory goes. Like that restriction that we have that we're holding on to just goes. So that's what we're talking about, the mind-body connection, because we're not going to get through healing through just that talk therapy. The talk therapy allows us to understand the story, the perceptional, the story through my own or our client's own perception. And the story can then be hidden inside the cells, in the fascia. And through it, it really doesn't matter what modality, because the body is going to hopefully get into that parasympathetic state to feel safe enough to release through a cry, a muscle jerk. I've had a client on the table where she went into this protective mechanism and I was allowed to hold her there and say, when was the last time you had that motion? And she said, when my husband hit me. So you can, it's just such a nice dance of healing trauma through, you know, these specific modalities.
And it's a gentle way.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people coming in feel, like you had mentioned, to feel safe. Most of the modalities that we do are a gentle releasing, letting go. So it's, you know, there's some practices out there that feel almost traumatic to let go of trauma. You know, because it's a lot. So I think this is a way where it's just allowing the body to do what it needs to do when it needs to do it. And that's really where we practice. Our philosophy is that we're here to help and facilitate your body to heal itself, because it's much more powerful than we are.
Yeah, and it's much more empowering to take that approach. And for me, I take an integrative approach. There's some things with Western medicine that work very well for me, but there's other things with like holistic practices that work very well with me. So together in integrating that, my mind, body, and spirit health is much better with that integrative, you know, with that integrative philosophy. And, you know, I tell my students, this is the wave of the future, and we need to be open to any particular type of practice, whether it's Western medicine based or not, that can help us improve physical and mental health outcomes, that can help us bring greater clarity and awareness of ourselves and in relation to the world around us. So I'm a firm believer in that kind of expanding our core beliefs and expanding our perspective to include a variety of different things that can help. I also think it's great that you have the Western medicine background, because you can speak to that, and it makes your work with holistic and integrative health, I think it just adds a certain amount of credibility more credibility to that. Give us one or two takeaways from your experiences that can, with holistic medicine, integrative health, that can help others in their life journeys.
I think people should know that the body will never give you anything that you can't handle. And keep on the path, still the mind to listen to what the next step is in your life. I know for myself, that's what I use, that motto of trusting self first, connecting to self, asking the questions, and the answers can be right from a book. It can be from sacred texts. It can even be, yes, in church. It can be guided through another. But we do have all the answers. And the more and more I keep doing my work, the more and more I believe that. And then I can, encourage my clients that I have more confidence in that to share with them, for them to follow.
I think I would say that the body has a lot of wisdom. And we're in a culture that tends to be disconnected from the body and all in our heads. So learning to reconnect to your body so you can listen to the wisdom that comes through. For example, let's say you wanted to take a job and your head's like, I should do this. No, I should do that or whatever. Listen to your body. Think about that job. And if you get all nervous and shaky inside, that's one answer. And if you feel excited or relaxed or empowered, that's the other answer. And we're so in our heads sometimes that we don't listen to that beautiful wisdom within our bodies. And the integrative piece is learning to trust your body.
Those are two great takeaways. Tell people how they can get in touch with you, how they can contract for your services. What's the best way for them to do that?
So our website is www.holistic, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, therapies, four, life.com. And on there, we do have a video that talks about the invitation. And it gives the listener a great description of who we are and what we do. On there, we also have our own group. I wouldn't say it's a podcast per se. It's some group work that we did during the pandemic for a good 2 years. One group is called Joyful Living. And the other one is Kristen's group, which is
called Shine, and that's mostly a woman's group or people that identify as women, talking about empowerment and, women's issues and looking at health in a completely different way. So we have pre-recorded things in there that anybody's welcome to, just tap in and ask to join, and we'll allow you in. We're not currently active in that at the moment. We're sort of thinking what we're going to do next. But there's some really helpful things in there, and that's all free. So just to maybe give people a little bit more of who we are, you could listen to those as well.
And on our website, it has our phone numbers, our emails. We do work with people remotely, so it's not just in person. We have two great workshops coming up. One is a pelvic floor workshop collaborated with a physical therapist, March 24th. And the other one is February 11th. It's breaking free of the patriarchy programming and how to unleash the power within. So we are collaborating with another woman in the community. So we do workshops like this on a pretty regular basis. But we are essentially located in Beverly, Massachusetts, right on Cabot Street.
Kristen and Mandy, it's been a pleasure. This has been a great conversation. Let's do this again real soon.
Okay.
Right, we'll come up with a new topic.
Yeah, just email me and we'll make it happen.
All right.
All right. And with that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.